And I'm here at the D4.
Yeah, so that's six. That's what we need. Okay, well, right. since it's time, I think we should probably... Have we heard from Drew?
I know he said he'll be... We changed the date, for the time and all that for him, so I'm assuming he'll be here.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and just sort of do some of the pro forma stuff, and hopefully he'll join us. I want to welcome everybody and go ahead and start the recording, Chris and Jim, to the Florida Building Commission's Energy Technical Advisory Committee meeting of April 5th, 2021. And I want to talk a little bit about our virtual meeting participation. It's pretty basic. Please keep your computers and phones on mute.
This conference will now be recorded.
Do not put any phones on hold. Be aware of background noises, how they project into the meeting. State your name each time you speak, and when you make motions as well on both the motion and the second. Please wait till you're offered an opportunity to ask questions or speak, which I will do. I will stack names and everybody have a chance to speak, but please don't speak until I offer the opportunity and then ask for you. And I see our chair is on the call now as well. Good. Okay. Well, that's just background stuff. So what I'm going to do next is go ahead and do a roll call to ensure that we have a quorum.
Hey, sorry, Jeff. I'm here.
Good. So the chair is here. Drew Smith, welcome, Drew. Kelly Smith-Burke?
I'm here.
Great, Kelly. Oscar Kaya?
I'm here.
Robert the Bob Cochelle?
Here.
John Geislers?
Here.
Tim Grabowski?
Here.
Commissioner John David?
David John is here.
Yep. Brian Luksic? Brian?
Here.
Oh, we know he's here. Okay, Jonathan Parks?
Here.
Roger Sanders? David Wozniak? We have 9 of 11 constituting a quorum. Very good. We also have Jim Hammers, Chris Howell, Mo Madani, Tom Campbell, and Commissioner Knott. That represents the staff. Drew, do you want to review the agenda in a minute, or you tell me what you'd like to do and what you do for a meeting? Today's agenda is to approve the minutes from the December 10th, 2020 meeting, and then to review and accept an interim draft report for a research project entitled Comparison of the 7th Edition Florida Building Code Energy Conservation with the IEC 2021 and ASHRAE 901-2019. I'd like to emphasize that this is an interim draft report, and that's all we're asking you to accept today. Okay, that's the main order of business. Mr. Chair, if you'd call the question, please.
Could we have a motion to approve minutes?
So moved, Cochelle.
That's for the agenda. So we'll
I'm sorry.
Yep, agenda.
For the agenda.
All right.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Oscar, second.
Thank you, Oscar. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Hey, minutes or our agenda is approved.
Very good. Are there any revisions or corrections to the December 10th, 2020 meeting minutes? If not, Mr. Chairman, would you ask for a motion to approve it as posted?
Can we have a motion to approve the meeting minutes as posted?
Guys, so move.
Second,
yep.
Then.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved.
Very good, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. All right, so our really only substantive issue today is to receive and accept the interim draft report. As I said, the comparison 7th edition Building Code Energy Conservation to IEC 2021 and ASHRAE 901-2019. Mo, would you like to introduce that and our presenters?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Mo Madani, and as Jeff says, and the agenda really has on it is today mainly we will have AFSEC provide us with us an update on the work done on the research project titled Comparison of the 7th Edition Florida Building Code Energy Conservation Code with IECC 2021 and ASHRAE 90.1 2019. The main purpose of this project, mainly to compare the 7th Edition Florida Building Code Energy Conservation with the 2021 edition of the International Energy Conservation Code and ASHRAE Standard 90.1 2019 to look at the stringency. And after that, the contractor will also perform a cost-benefit analysis of updating the 7th edition 2020 to the 8th edition 2023 FBC. So at this point, at this stage of the research project, as I said, this is an interim report. So you will hear conceptually, how the project is progressing. And also as you see, as posted on the agenda, there's tables of a listing of code changes and the comparison and all that. So which will, AFSEC team will provide us with the updates on that. This is really ultimately, the work of on this project. It would guide us toward whether the next update of the energy code, for the energy code, will meet or exceed the model energy code, the IECC and ASHRAE 90.1 2019. With us online, AFSEC, which is really Barakat and Jeff Sassoni to give us an update. Thank you.
All right. Who's going to start off from AFSEC?
It's me, Barakat Nguse, please.
Sure, go ahead. You need a screen share?
Who needs the screen? I sent it over to Jeff Sonny. Do we need to send it to somebody else?
I think you need to send it to Barakat.
Barakat, and I think Jeff together, they work together.
Yeah, Barakat will keep it, and I'll just go through it with him. So Barakat only really for right now.
Okay.
Hang on. Find him again.
Hello?
Barakat should have it.
There it is.
Yeah. Go ahead. Talk to me.
Barakat, you have the screen there, right? Just kind of put it in. Put it in presentation mode if you could.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that.
There you go. Yeah.
Can you clearly see my screen?
Yes, it looks fine.
Okay. Okay, this is a progress report comparison of the 7th edition Florida Building Code. Again, it's the latest IECC and ASHRAE 90.1. And I'll go through the project overview. So we have a comparison of the 2020 Florida Building Energy Code with IECC 2021. and provide that code change summary in the form of table. We did this for those residential and commercial section, and also, you know, the 2020 Florida Building Code includes ASHRAE, so we've also looked at the ASHRAE 2016 with ASHRAE standard 90.1/2019. And the other two aspects of this project are some quantitative or energy use analysis across the sector for both residential and commercial. And we'll do some sort of cost-benefit analysis for those code changes which has energy impact. In this presentation, you know, we'll give you some overview of the code changes with the relevant information in terms of its impact on the cost, construction cost, and energy. So I will hand over this presentation to Jeff to walk us through the residential section of the code change.
Okay, thank you, Barakat. This is Jeff Sunny. Go ahead, next slide, please. So, yeah, on the residential side, review the code changes between the 2018 ICC and the 2021 IC changes, and then what those changes would be between the 2020 FBC ECR Florida Building Code Energy Conservation Volume to the 2021 ICC. So provided a summary of those changes. In addition, provided the energy efficiency and construction cost impacts for them. So next slide, please. So this is maybe a little hard to see, but we won't get into a whole lot of detail here. Just to explain the way that the table is formatted. So in the first column is the 2021 IECC section and title. So you get, some of these sections have changed since the 2018 codes. We're using the new 2021 section number and title. The second column is going to be the where that change came from the monograph that ICC provided us with, so the code change number there for identifying where it came from. The third column is the change between the 2018 IECC and 2021 IECC, a summary of that. And then fourth column, the summary change between the 2020 Florida Energy Conservation Code and the 2021 IECC. And then the fifth and sixth columns are the energy impacts, stringency impacts, and cost impacts if we were to go ahead and make that same change to the Florida code. And next slide, please. So we'll talk about just a few highlights. You can see there at the bottom, there was a total of 258 residential changes alone, so a lot more than last time around. But the where they came from, as you might expect, is most of them came from Chapter 4, the residential energy efficiency, 77%. Chapter 1, scope and administration, had 6%. 7% from definitions, Chapter 2, general requirements, 3%, existing buildings, Chapter 5, 4%, and appendices, 3%. So next slide, please. So one of the largest things, most impactful ones, is the additional energy efficiency requirement. New section R40125 requires additional efficiency to all the compliance paths, so prescriptive performance and energy rating index. It's a combination of the options provided in section R40125 and some additional listed options in section R408. And so this would increase stringency and cost for all Florida compliance options. Next, please. So on the envelope side, there's, again, a number of changes. We're just going to focus on a few here for just the time. But the table R40212, the maximum ceiling U factors, was changed for climate zones 2 and 3. So for us, what impacts Florida, of course, is climate zone 2, changed for from 0.03 to 0.026. And that would, of course, since that's a prescriptive table, the U factor method and the total UA method, that would increase prescriptive compliance, stringency, and cost. But because this table is also used for performance compliance references for a number of the building envelope items, components that would also increase the performance, stringency, and cost for Florida Climate Zone 2 projects. So next slide, or next item. And that is a parallel to the one we just looked at. So in table R40213, the actual R values have been increased from R38 to R49 in climate zones 2 and 3, again, affecting us in climate zone 2. And that would increase prescriptive stringency and cost for our climate zone 2 projects. And note that right now, our climate zone 1, our value here for prescriptive compliance is R30. And so as we jump, we have compliance or R30 for zone 1 and R49 then for zone 2 if we adopted this change. Next slide, please. So one more on the envelope side, just looking at the solar heat gain coefficient for windows, the network fenestration, the maximum area weighted average fenestration, SHGC, is for our climate zones, is changed in the IECC from 0.5 to 0.4. We have 0.5 right now as well, so that would be an increase in Florida performance, stringency, and cost as well. Next slide, please. So on the Duff side, the changes here that is used and when all the located entirely within the building thermal envelope, the exception testing is required in the 20, and they have a CFM per 100 square foot, so a QN total of 0.08, to use that language, but that would increase or the prescriptive stringency and cost in some cases, in those cases that would otherwise apply, which is not the majority of our construction here, but there would be some impact there. Next slide, please. On the lighting, there are several lighting changes. We'll look at two of those here. For R4041, the high efficacy requirement has changed from 90% of permanent lighting fixtures to all permanent lighting fixtures except those in kitchen appliances. And that would increase Florida's stringency slightly and maybe cost slightly. Of course, LEDs and efficient bulb solutions are, you know, readily available and more cost effective. So maybe not a very large impact there, but that's a change that they have in the 2021 IECC. Next, please. And so there are a few exceptions, but with a few exceptions, there's a new mandatory section that requires either dimmer, occupant sensor, or other control built into fixtures for permanently installed interior lighting fixtures. That would increase Florida stringency and cost as well. Next slide, please. On the performance compliance side, look at a couple changes here. One is that...
That's very strange.
It's probably more interesting if that was maybe a hint or something. There's now in the 2021 IECC a new backdrop, efficiency backdrop for components of the 2009 IECC table 40211 or table 40213. So instead of for our change, that would increase our Florida performance, compliance, stringency, and cost, because we don't have quite as stringent envelope requirements or backdrops for our performance code, so that would be an increase there. And next item, please. And this change stipulates, they added a stipulation for the reference design duct location, and that it be the same as the proposed designs. And this would, in fact, decrease Florida performance compliance stringency, because currently in Florida, our duct reference for performance compliance is inside the building thermal envelope. So that would actually be a reverse decrease in efficiency for us here in most cases, depending on where the ducts are located in the details of the project. But that would be for most cases there. Next slide, please. And just one item to point out on the ERI. Again, there's more in all these categories, but the one I'll point out here is that the maximum IACC energy rating index score was decreased from 57 to 52. We're 58 here in Florida now, so we would go from 58 to 52 if we would adopt this change, and that would increase the Florida ERI stringency and cost, of course, if we did that. Next slide, please. So those are the sort of quick summary, quick overview of some of the highlights of the changes. And as Beric had already noted, we'll have the remaining tax here on the residential side, energy impact analysis, and economic impact analysis for the part two of the project. And we expect to be able to complete those tasks on the planned schedule. So I think that's our residential. Beric, I'll hand it back to you for the commercial side.
So, Jeff, one second. Before we move on to commercial, let's find out if there's any comments or questions from our TAC members.
Sure.
TAC members, do you have any questions or comments on the residential component, this draft interim report? All right.
This is David. I have one question. So the second part is going to be, when was that going to get done, the second part of the report?
It's a June 15th due date, I believe.
It's, I'm sorry. This is Mommy Donnie. It will be in June, early June.
Okay.
And that will be for, in advance of the September TAC meeting, so.
Yeah, it'll be the final report on this project. It's due June 15th.
This is Oscar. I think where the question was headed was we need to know the overall impact and compare it to the energy code to see which ones we adopt or not adopt. I think that's the reason. Well, we need to know the overall impact, whether we're under or we're over the international code.
Right.
Yeah, and that will be part of the final report, June 15th.
Again, that will give plenty of time before the tax meet in September, so.
Yes, we'll be able to make the information available for the meeting in September. You're right.
All right, any other TAC members? All right, does anybody from the public want to comment on the residential before I turn it over to Bearcat for the commercial?
Joe Belcher, just one question.
Go ahead, Joe.
Was there any effort or did you look at all at the changes that were overturned in the residential energy code from the IECC process? There were like 21 changes that were overturned from the committee recommendation by the governmental vote. I just wondered if you looked at that at all.
We didn't separately look at that and do any summary of that, no. I think I ran across some of those, but no, nothing on the report, though.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, if I may.
Identify yourself, please.
Rolando Soto, Broward County.
Go ahead.
Does the economic impact analysis, will the economic impact analysis have a cost or cost increase or decrease in reference to consumers or only to the construction industry?
I'll have to double check that, but I believe it's to the construction cost of the project.
Because obviously if we are decreasing efficiency, that cost is gonna be passed down to the consumer in higher energy costs.
And part of that analysis is taken up by the residential cost of construction impact working group, who does sort of do that additional analysis for residential stuff.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Bearcat, you're on for the commercial, please.
Thank you. Okay, we will look now into the, first with the IECC 2021 commercial code change, and then follow with the ISRA 90.1. These are the changes that we looked at. That's the 2018 IECC against the 2021 ICC code and provide a summary. And similarly, we also looked how that impacts the 2020 Florida Building Code energy conservation. We also looked, reviewed the code changes between 2016 and 2019 ARSHRAE Standard 90.1 and provided the code change summary. And also we identified energy and construction cost impacts for both codes. And here is a sample of that summary table that we have for ICC code change. I'm not going to go for each of them because Jeff already provided it, the structure of the table. So we have the actual code section for the ICC and the code change number of code that came from the ICC code change monograph, and then the relative change between 2018 and 2021 ICC, and between 2020 Florida code and 2021 ICC, and then the energy and construction cost impact of those changes. So we've summarized this based on for each chapter so that, you know, it's easier to navigate. Highlights. Now I look into the highlights of the code change. And we'll be emphasizing only those code changes which have either energy impact or cost impact of both. Oh, these are only samples that we didn't cover the entire code change here. So the code change distribution looks like, you know, 78% of the code changes comes from the chapter that commercial energy efficiency. And you know, others around 2 to 3%. The commercial energy efficiency sector we cover here, you know, the building envelope, mechanical, lighting and lighting controls, energy credit, power and electronics, so electrical. So this is basically on the order of the major changes, the highest number of changes that we have is in the envelope. And in total, there were 240 code changes proposed and only 141 approved. And finally, you know, 135 published in the 2021 ICC code. Probably, you know, some of them were not ended up. Maybe they were, you know, we believe they were removed because of the approval process. So I'll look into the envelope changes, highlights of the ICC code. You know, one of the changes is the fenestration. You know, the U factor and SGC, solar pregate coefficient, were reduced. And there is also one major change that the fixed and operable are used in place of windows or fenestration orientation. This is for vertical fenestration. And in most cases, in climate zone 1 and 2, the SSGC has any factors reduced. There was also this change in swinging and non-swinging doors in the U factors. Swinging doors, U factors value reduced. And for non-swinging doors, originally or in the past code, we have it based on R value. Now they replaced it to use equivalent U factors. And this is the second most important change for the envelope is two new air leakage test compliance procedures introduced in this cycle. They are mandatory. One is for the dwelling and sleeping units, where, you know, each unit needs to be measured for air leakage for a target value of 0.3 cm per square foot at 50 pascal pressure difference. So all units must be measured. If the number of units is less than 8, if there are more than 8 units in that building, then either, you know, 7, the maximum of 7, or 20% of the units. And the second one is for any other building other than dwelling and sleeping units. So they have an equivalent pressure leakage target rate, you know, 0.4 cfm per square foot at 75 pascal. But there are exemptions or exceptions applied based on a P&L, you know, economic analysis. So most buildings, you know, in Florida climate 1 and 2, above 5,000 square foot are exempted from this requirement. But any building that doesn't meet any measured air leakage test requirement, it has to do with the existing method, which is more a prescriptive requirement of the material, the assembly, and then air barrier installation requirement. And then is the third category of change for ICC building envelope change is leveling and certificate requirements. It requires a permanent thermal envelope certificate for alley value of all opaque envelopes and for vertical fenestration, SSGC and U factor. And then measured air leakage leveling is required. And this definitely increases the cost of, you know, construction. But that's what we see here. It increases the stringency for energy as well. And commercial code changes for mechanical system. So there are several updates of HVAC equipment efficiency. And then there are also new HVAC equipments added here that weren't there previously, like equipment for dedicated outdoor system, for indoor pool dehumidifiers, and some heat recovery chillers. Use it specifically for in healthcare systems. And the second category of change is now HVAC system fault detection and diagnostic. And this is also has a significant cost impact. And but specifically asked for a building gross floor area greater than 100,000 square foot. This, requires lots of, permanently installing sensors and with all the capability of measuring performance every like 15 minutes and then analyzing the data and providing, identifying faults and alerting, responsible officials and building operators and how to respond to that, and including any remedy or repair required to address that the fault. So this is a major cost increase impact. But for the analysis shows that ICC claims that any building with this size, it is cost effective to have these systems. And the other one change in HVAC system area is data centers. Previously in ICC, all computer room, covers data centers as well, but now they have to follow a different path in terms of what kind of code to follow. So they introduced a definition for data centers and modified also the definition of computer room so that, computer room applies only when the any electrical load for IT equipment is less than 20 watts per square foot or less than 10 kilowatts. Any other than outside range is categorized as data centers. But the data centers will follow ASHRAE standard 90.5, but they have a specific addition in terms of what kind of loads to use for design and annual energy calculations. In terms of lighting and control changes, at this time they have also reduced the LPD values for both the building area method and the space by space method. And the rationale behind is, this time the analysis seemed there is 100% penetration of LED lighting technology. So basically, these are off-the-shelf products. They have little or no cost increase, but they are significant energy savings. And there are also lighting controls and occupancy sensors. Additional requirements is corridors now require to have occupancy sensors, and some warehouses also have some language added in terms of how each aisleways are controlled, and also or some sort of automatic switch controls in this space. Daylighting responsive control, this is also a major change in terms of adding the inclusion of secondary side light or side lit area. You know, I actually had this secondary lighting area, daylighting area in the code for several code cycles. But this is the first time IACC is introducing a secondary, which is an area adjacent to the primary side light area. This, you know, might require additional, you know, sensors for lighting, but, you know, with the multi-sensors that we have in the current technology, so it shouldn't be a lot cost addition, but it saves significant energy, so that's it's a beneficial. And also, for daylighting dimming control, for daylighting responsive control, dimming requirement has changed from step or staged dimming control to continuous for any space where there is a lighting responsive control. And there are also several changes in terms of, you know, parking garage lighting controls. You know, they require special lighting control at the entrance and exits, and then and the perimeter openings as well. In terms of in power and electrical sections, so they have introduced this automatic receptacle control. This is required control feature in selected space types, offices, conference rooms, classrooms, or any other rooms that is primarily used for printing purposes. And this also increases the stringency, but with it has the potential also to save energy, and they've done this thing analysis, this cost effectiveness, and this code has been in the ICE record. We are familiar with this several code cycles. And another new requirement is energy monitoring. Energy monitoring, that is measuring, recording, and reporting requirement is added to this code cycle for buildings of gross floor area greater than 25,000 square, and they specifically request what energy categories to be, and all electrical energy need to be monitored or metered. Energy induces for HVAC, water heating, and all lighting, internal and exterior, and other plug loads and process loads separated. And then also specifies what kind of meter, data acquisition system, or graphical reporting requirements are needed for this code. And it is mandatory. Additional efficiency credit or change. This is a modification of an existing code. Previously, we had, you know, an option that there were at least, I believe, six or eight of different options one can choose to achieve a 10% credit. But now they have replaced it with an option of selecting a different options to get to the target level of 10%. So that's a slightly, that's one modification. But they have also determine new credits by building type and climate zones. So building type specifically, they have category of office, multifamily, institutional schools, and retail and others category. But you have all categories that you can choose from, and there are 11 of them this time. So you can, some may have a significant credit in one climate zone as opposed to the other. So one has to choose, you know, select what that brings us to the 10% target required. Yeah, you can add all to get to that percent. And also, there are also two options where you can take more than 10% credit, up to 15%. based on lighting power reduction and cooling efficiency improvement beyond the value required for the 10%. And for buildings with mixed use, you can weigh them by floor area to get to that target. So this also increases the stringency, but, you know, with the increased cost, there is an advantage of, you know, exceeding that target. What is that, you know, most desires to achieve. Now I'll pass quickly go through the RSA 90.1/2019 code changes. We have slightly different table. This time we compare only the 2016 to the 2019 version and identify if there is any energy impact, and then column, you know, whether this is included in the analysis, in the quantitative analysis in determining energy cost, energy and energy cost indexes, and also, you know, any discussion whether, you know, these code changes are included or not in the analysis. Here is a summary of the code changes for RSA 90.1. So the largest chunk goes to HVAC system and service water heating, and followed by appendices. This is a major change in the Appendix G energy rating method, and followed by, you know, envelope, lighting envelope, and energy cost measure method. 6%. So 40% of the code changes for ASHRAE has energy impact, and from those 40%, and 60% of our HVAC and service weather related, and 20% are lighting. I'll go through the few of the significant changes that we have enveloped. In ASHRAE now, this time, started classifying the fenestration, vertical fenestration, by fixed and operable, just like the ICC. This is, you know, making, you know, these sections of the code more relatable to ICC. And they reduced SHGCD and U factor. So when they introduced fixed and operable, they eliminated material, frame materials as a classifying parameter. So there is one, it will be only now fixed, operable, and entrance door. No material classification for frustrations. HVAC equipment and HVAC system controls. So they have updated the minimum efficiency based on federal minimum, and there is also a new energy, fine energy metrics introduced. Florida, you know, Building Code 2020 already have that. There is also new occupied standby mode control for spaces that are scheduled to be occupied, but occupancy sensors tells you there is not backup or not occupied. So in that case, it requires to set back temperatures, cooling and heating temperatures, and also turn off ventilation air completely. And there is also a new requirement for heat recovery chiller ventilation in hospitals, but it has a criteria for that. It doesn't apply across all, only when the capacity is, I believe, like 300 cooling tons of cooling capacity, and it is running 24 hours, and it requires heating and cooling beyond outside temperature greater than 60. That's typically when you have a central system with a heat terminal. And then that recovery chiller, you know, has to be like, you know, 7% of the total chilled water system capacity. And also, ASHRAE standard 941, it will be used for data centers. Actually, ICC more or less followed, you know, the ASHRAE 9.1 standard regarding data centers. Lighting. And daylighting controls, we have reduced LTD, as I have mentioned, and there is continuous dimming requirement. There is also new lighting control requirement in parking garage. So this are pretty much in, goes in parallel with ICC, though. They're similar. And there is a new lighting compliance method in ASHRAE this time. Simple buildings less than 25,000 square foot, such as offices, schools, and retails, can now use this simplified lighting compliance method. You have one single lighting LPD value to be used across the building, and it is more of a trade-off between simplifying the method and you use slightly less light LPD values, so it is less costly for the owners or developers because it's much easier to comply with this. And there is a new code section or a revised code section that requires testing. You know, previously commissioning and verification reporting was a requirement. Now there is a testing requirement as well. And the functional performance testing for a different section of the code they have added for, you know, for testing and providing report. And here would be the remaining tasks. We've done the comparison, identified the code changes with energy impact and cost impact. Now we are in the second part of the analysis. We'll be looking at economic energy impact and economic impact analysis for 2020 building for record against 2021. ICC, the energy impact analysis is in progress. Energy impact analysis between 2016 and 2019, ASHRAE 90.1. It is almost complete. We need to do some review, but otherwise it is complete. And the economic analysis for bills has started, but we anticipate to complete that. The original schedule. That's it. So thank you for your attention, and I'll be happy to answer any question you may have.
Great, thank you. So TAC members, you have any questions you'd like to ask of the Burkett on the commercial components? All right, is any member of the public wish to ask any questions on the commercial provisions of the Energy Code comparison? Hearing none, then I'd go back to the TAC, Drew, for a motion to accept the draft interim reports.
Great job, Burkett and Jeff, on the presentation. We look forward to the final results here in June. Look for a motion to accept the report as delivered today.
Geisler, so moved.
Oscar, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, fantastic. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so unless there's any public comment or any additional comment, does anybody have any? All right, Jude, why don't you adjourn us?
Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Grabowski, so moved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Be well.
Thank you, Jeff, for facilitating.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you.